Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. I'll find the clock in a minute, folks. Don't worry. I know where it is. It's good to be back with you, as always. And we got another outstanding interview coming up straight ahead with our good friend, Dr. William Dunkelberg. Dr. Dunkelberg, Bill Dunkelberg, is chief economist of the National Federation of Independent Business. He is a professor of economics at Temple University, formerly served as the chairman of that entire division over there, the business school there at Temple. And he's our good friend, Bill. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you back. What are small business owners telling you these? Well, I'll tell you what, before we get into that, let me ask you, I got to ask you a Fed question.
Oh, this sounds heavy duty here.
No, not too heavy. You can have it. This is a softball for you. This is an easy one. Fed did not raise rates again this month. Do you see any reason why the Fed would have any reason to raise rates in the next 12 months?
Is there something that could happen?
Yeah. Do you see anything on the horizon that would cause rates to do anything but stay where they are or come down in the next 12 months?
No. My guess is that, you know, we call that a forecast professionally, but my forecast is that the inflation rate really doesn't get any worse.
What is it now? 2.5?
Yeah, it runs 2.6 something like that for the core. You know, obviously, for the last few months, we've had great headline numbers. We had a -6% annual rate in September, -6% in October, and then flat in November because of energy prices. So if you look at the headline rate for the last few months, you say, hey, no inflation. But, of course, you know, before that, we had some huge numbers. So this is just energy prices coming down. But you look at the core, which leaves the food and energy out, which is what the Fed says it pays more attention to. It's still, you know, stubbornly above the 1% to 2% range. And if you look at our NFIB surveys and look at the percentage of firms raising prices, we had a net 17% raising prices in November. Well, that's too high to get the core down where the Fed wants it. You go back to 2003, the average net percent, meaning we subtracted out the percent who cut their prices, the average net percent raising prices was under 3, and the headline rate was under 2. So we have too many firms raising prices to get the core rate down. But I think the story will be this. If the Fed doesn't see it going up and sees the economy kind of slowing and just kind of moving along, they're not going to raise rates.
You know, especially if petroleum. But petroleum is the big ringer in all of it, right?
Well, it is, you know, and that's why they try to look at the, you know, the ex-food and energy numbers. That is, take the food volatility out, the energy volatility out.
Right.
Try to look at the core rate, which is what is that basket of goods, excluding energy that you would buy, what does that look like? And that's the one that's right now stubbornly above where they want to see it.
Another public kind of a public policy issue, although Fed's not really all that much public policy, but it's connected indirectly at least, and that is something the new democratically controlled Congress, the next Congress, has said in the first 100 hours, not 100 days, in the first 100 hours of their session, the first session, they intend to raise minimum wage. Now, as you know, I think you and I agree that this is an abomination. This is an assault on small business owners. It's ridiculous. It's an example, in my opinion, Bill, of politicians saying, we're so stupid, we don't understand how the economy works and what the economy is looking like that we have in front of us, so we're going to raise minimum wage, even though the evidence points against it. My point is, sorry, I just get so upset about this. My question is, do you see that as being an inflator this year, this next year?
Well, you know, I think the odds of that passing are pretty good.
Excellent.
A lot of Republicans will vote for it as well.
Because they have no backbone.
Well, they have no backbone and they don't get it. And
they're the stupid ones too.
Yeah, they don't really catch on here that most of the people who would receive a raise from the minimum wage don't are from above median income families. They're not poor workers,
right?
And they don't seem to catch on to the idea that, well, if you raise the cost of labor, which is 70 to 80% of our costs, we have to pass it on. So it's a tax on customers to pay higher wages to people, some of whom will, you know, all of whom will appreciate it, but a smaller number of whom will actually be helped by it. And, of course, then a lot of people will be denied jobs because the higher you make the minimum wage, the fewer opportunities there are to get a job for unskilled new entrants to the labor force.
But quickly,
so
before...
They'll do it. They'll vote it up.
But, Bill, before we go out, come back to this in a second. Before we go out, question, yes or no, will it be inflationary?
Other things equal, sure. It is inflationary.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be. Stand by. Quick break. 20 till. Right back with Bill Dunkelberg. A lot more to come. You don't want to miss this. Welcome back. It's 17 till. That's Shocking Blue there. A little for you. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business. And once a month for the last many years, Bill has polled thousands of small business owners to find out what's going on out there in the economy. What are they experiencing? What's the real live rubber meets the road experience that they're having? And they tell him, and he compiles all that data and reports it back to us in the handy dandy survey report that he gives us and that he posts on the NFIB website. He allows us to post it on our website, which we do every month. And he also posts it at another website, which I'll get him to give us right now. Go ahead, Bill.
SmallBizBUS.org. That has the last 12 monthly reports and the charts, so you can see the picture for 30 years.
Good charts, too, by the way, folks. Charts that regular folks can understand. Bill, we were talking about the inflationary issue of minimum wage. The minimum wage is nothing more than a sop to the unions. That's really all it is, isn't it?
Well, basically, one wonders, of course, why unions would support this, because, after all, what union worker earns a minimum wage? But here's the key. The minimum wage sets the minimum wage that you pay to an unskilled worker. And then, of course, unions always work off of skill differential. So if you can raise the minimum pay for an unskilled worker by $2, then you can, in a sense, push that all the way up the wage structure. Everybody's got to earn another $2 to keep them at the proper space from the person right behind them who's less skilled.
Isn't it true that many union contracts are based on the price that they charge is based on some factor above minimum wage?
That one I don't know.
That's been my understanding for a long time, and that's another reason why they want that. Well, here's the thing. You know, and you said it a minute ago, 70% of our expenses are payroll. The more we raise minimum wage, that puts upward pressure on all wages, union or non-union.
Right.
And it's a morale issue, if nothing else. And so anyway, it's folks, gird your loins, buckle your seatbelts. It's coming because the Democrats don't understand the economy, and the Republicans have no backbone to stop them. And they could stop them, by the way.
They could indeed, because, you know, the votes are, you have to have a lot of votes to get these things passed. And on these issues, there's a lot of crossover. So
the Republicans will cave on this one because they don't know how to argue against it. And there's, anyway, so let's move on. What are your guys, what did your folks tell you this month?
Well, they told us that the economy is just moving along kind of, in a solid pace. Excuse me there. We had the index kind of fell 1 point. So it's pretty close to 100, which is our 30-year average. Since that's based in 1986, which is a pretty good year, we have a good year as far as the survey now telling us that we're going to have a good year going into 2007. Owners are pretty optimistic about where real sales are going to go. Believe it or not, the job market remains incredibly tight. We have as many people planning to increase jobs, not hire, but add to their staffs, as we had during the dot-com period.
And wow.
So hiring plans are incredibly strong right now.
Kiplinger says 1.3 million next year.
New jobs?
Yeah.
Well, that would not be a bad number.
That tracks with the last four, doesn't it?
Right. That would be a number that here's the problem you run into. You got a very tight labor market. Unemployment rate's 4.5. We employ a non-dot-com record 63.3% of the adult population. So, can you find those workers? You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's clear that we're
That's
willing to hire them. Right, we're willing to hire them. But you know, in November, over 50% of our owners tried to hire, but 80% of them said they found few or no qualified applicants for the positions that they had.
Which is the best argument in the world against raising minimum wage.
Absolutely.
Because it's a seller's market.
Exactly. So we had a great labor market, and if you can hire these people, they're going to be making GDP with their hands, and that means GDP should be growing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that might slow it down for next year is not weak demand, but rather you can't find people to make stuff.
Right.
You can't hire the people you need.
There's going to be an inability to fulfill capacity.
Right.
Yeah.
One out of five firms has at least one opening they can't fill. That's high.
That is high, and it's something that's been going on. And you know, you were talking about comparing this to the dot-com era. Many of those jobs were fallacious jobs. They never should have happened. They never should have been, because they were working for, many of those people were working for companies that never should have been created, and they're no longer with us. The jobs we're creating today are real critical mass 21st century jobs, aren't they?
Right. That's why, you know, I don't really like to benchmark to the 2000, but of course, if you can always pick the right benchmark to make things look bad. So critics of the current economic situation and the current administration will use 2000 numbers to say, look, you know, we're down from 2000. Well, you know, everything is down from 2000 because
right.
It was a very bizarre period that hopefully in some ways we won't go through again because...
Oh, Bill, we will. We will. Because Charles McKay wrote a book called, as you know, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds 160 years ago. And he talked about the Tulip Mania and the Mississippi Scheme and the South Seas Bubble or whatever.
Yep.
And it was exactly what happened in the 1990s. It'll happen again, just we don't know when, because people will always have extraordinary delusions, extraordinary popular delusions, and they'll always be just a little bit mad. Tintail will be right back with Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. But I'll tell you what, folks, that's not the kind of economy we have right now.
Be afraid just as long as you stand by me.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Use it to your advantage. It's free. No barrier to entry at all. You don't even have to tell us who you are. Just use it to your advantage. And get ready, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be telling you about some new stuff very soon. Just a matter of weeks, we're going to be telling you about some new capability that you're going to like a lot. I know you are. Because it's just going to be great. It's going to be another example of no barrier to entry resources from my organization, and it's coming up real soon. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. He's our good friend, the chief economist at the NFIB and a professor of economics at Temple University. Bill, what anything else that you want to tell us about what your respondent said this time that's noteworthy before we talk about 2007?
Sure. Well, you know, one thing we did notice that was a little bit of a surprise, and again, this can vary from month to month. We did notice a decline in the percentage of firms who reported that they actually made capital expenditures over the last 6 months.
Hmm.
Plans didn't change. They stayed at a nice 31% planning to make capital outlays, and the percent who say now's a good time to expand was unchanged, and that's staying at a nice range. So. But for some reason, we didn't spend as much money, and we'll have to see how that holds up in the December survey, because you do a sampling error. You know, you talk to 500 people, and it can vary once in a while.
Well, don't forget, some people may be There may be some acceleration in December because of the Section 179 direct expensing.
Right.
That maybe people will try to get in before the end of the year.
Yeah, so we could see a few things there. Inventories, obviously, you know, our inventories are a little high, like lots of people's, but given the sales numbers that we've been seeing, that ought to be taken care of. And our people were optimistic about real sales, so we had a nice pickup in the percent who expected real sales to be going up. So they were cautious but optimistic, cautious in that they weren't going to go get a lot of inventory, you know, in the last few months of the year, but thinking the sales were going to be pretty good. So that all looked pretty good. On the price side, you know, we've had a major decline in the percent of our firms raising prices from 28%, that's the net percent back in April, all the way down to 16 in October, then it went to 17 in November.
Which is kind of good news for inflation.
Yeah, that's right. That trend is a good trend. We would like to have seen it continue from 16 and down to 15 or 14 to 13 rather than up to 17. But at least you know, it didn't go up sharp.
Well, it's still down in a number that's better than it was.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was looking good. So overall, I think we're looking reasonably good here. If we can deal with these tight labor markets, why things ought to be pretty good.
Some folks are predicting in the 2 range for growth in 07, Bill. Kiplinger says it's going to be 2.5 or so. Some people are actually saying below 2. I still believe, notwithstanding the labor thing that you were just talking about, the availability of workforce, notwithstanding that, I still think that we're looking at a 3% growth next year. What do you think?
Well, that's what my forecast, based on our stuff, is closer to 3, like, you know, 2.8, 2.9. And that's close enough for me. That's like trend growth, which is good. That means you create the jobs you need to keep the unemployment rate low and you don't have inflationary pressures. So that looks good. I do think that we can have, you know, really supply-constrained problems next year rather than demand problems. But so most of my colleagues are on the low side of 3. But not in the low 2s. You know, that's probably off the map. You might get a very slow first quarter. We'll have to see. But for the year, hard to see anything other than pretty close to 3%. And that'll be a good year, especially with these nice low interest rates. We don't expect them to really change very much, so that helps. Housing is really getting through very nicely given the huge oversupply that we had.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a builder in Raleigh last week, and he builds about 20 houses a year. He said, I haven't seen any change in demand. He says, I'm busy. And
I'm so aggravated at the people who, I think what they do, Bill, I've said this before, I think they call Toll Brothers and ask them how they're doing. If they're not doing well, they think it's a national housing crisis. Don't you think so?
Well, they might. I know Bob Toll, and he and a couple other big builders.
It's a publicly traded residential home building company, folks. But you know, the housing industry in the United States, I don't see it being as bad as they say it is. Hey, Bill, quick, I got 15 seconds. Best tip for small business for 2007?
You know, if you got good labor, make sure you keep it.
That's a good one. That's as good as it gets right there, folks. Take that to heart, ladies and gentlemen. That's a gem. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job, as always.
My pleasure.
Happy holidays to you and yours, sir.
Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Have a great holiday.
Thanks, Bill. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best, and he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I want to remind you that this program is for you. And one more thing, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.